Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Luri. Well, we're going to go back and look at the last 24 hours and hear some of the news that's been made in the last 24 hours. And we're going to give you your opportunity to weigh in on these news stories. So stick around. We'll be playing some sound that I think you may not have heard yet. So first of all, three listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we had a conversation about the term defunding the police. We also talked about the proposed new laws in Florida to crack down on protesters. And we talked about President Trump's frequent reference to genetics, the genetics of himself and his supporters when he makes speeches. Here's what three listeners had to say.
This is Kevin Brington. You know, today someone mentioned reimagine the police as a motto, and I thought, wow, that is a really good motto. But I've got one that I think the difference is that both the left, the right, Green Party, Third Party, Democrat, Republican, Independent, I think that I've got one that everyone should get behind, and I heard it here on this little radio station, so it's not original, but it's called Defund the Politicians. And, you know, if you think about it, that's really one of the most important things that we need to be doing is to come together and find something that we can all agree on. And who couldn't agree with that?
Yes. Hi. On Wednesday's show and other times, you've mentioned that there are parallels between Trump's behavior and personality and that of Adolf Hitler. If you study Hitler's discussions of propaganda, crowd control, race, genetics, how to run a country, how to become a Führer, you see that Trump is exactly following Hitler's playbook, except, of course, that was Germany in the 1930s, and this is America in the 2000s. But otherwise, it's the same speaking style, the same appeals to fear and hatred, the same appeal to division, the same appeal to the homeland, the fatherland, as well as overt racism, demonization of groups, and the use of a police state. So, folks, you might hate Biden and think he's not progressive enough, but if you don't want a Führer here in the United States, you just have to vote to get rid of Trump. He's the worst thing we've ever seen in the White House.
Yes, I was listening to the radio, and I wanted to point out to your listeners that our Constitution says we have a right to peacefully assemble. It's our right to peacefully assemble, not to go out and commit crimes. That's not peacefully assembling. So I believe what the governor is doing in Florida is being able to remind people, especially outsiders coming in to start trouble, that they will have to peacefully assemble. They can't block roadways. And if I'm in a car and their people are doing what they're doing and beating people up and all, I'm going to consider it a threat to my life if they block my car. And before I allow myself to be harmed, I will run someone over.
Well, those were comments that have come in the last 24 hours. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Luri. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go back and listen to some of the news items that have taken place over the last 24 hours and give you an opportunity to comment about them. And when we do that, you'll be able to call in at 813-239-9663. Well, the state of Florida has reported, as of early this morning, 690,499 total cases of the coronavirus tested and recorded here in Florida. There have been, among Florida residents, there were 202 new deaths recorded yesterday, bringing the total death toll of Florida residents to 13,618. Yesterday, there was quite an exchange as the White House's top advisor on the coronavirus pandemic, Dr. Anthony Fauci, testified at a U.S. Senate hearing on the nation's response to coronavirus. And Dr. Fauci was challenged by Republican Rand Paul of Kentucky, who is an adherent of the libertarian philosophy. And Paul kept asking Fauci questions, and Fauci kept pushing back. Let's listen to that exchange from yesterday in the U.S. Senate. investigation recommendations from dating to baseball to Dr. Fauci, today you said you are not for economic lockdown, yet your mitigation recommendations from dating to baseball to restaurants to movie theaters have led to this economic lockdown. Do you have any second thoughts about your mitigation recommendations, considering the evidence that despite all of the things we've done in the U.S., our death rate is essentially worse than Sweden, equivalent to the less developed world that is unable to do any of the things that you've been promoting? Do you have any second thoughts? Are you willing to look at the data that countries that did very little actually have a lower death rate than the United States?
You know, Senator, I'd be happy at a different time to sit down and go over detail. You've said a lot of different things. You've compared us to Sweden. And there are a lot of differences. And you said, well, you know, there are a lot of differences between Sweden. But compare Sweden's death rate to other comparable Scandinavian countries. It's worse. So I don't think it's appropriate to compare Sweden with us. Yes, we have, I think in the beginning, we've done things based on the knowledge we had at the time. And hopefully, and I am, and my colleagues are humble enough and modest enough to realize that as new data comes, you make different recommendations. But I don't regret saying that the only way we could have really stopped the explosion of infection was by essentially, when I say shutting down, I mean essentially having the physical separation and the kinds of recommendations that we've made.
You've been a big fan of Cuomo and the shutdown in New York. Okay. You've lauded New York for their policy. New York had the highest death rate in the world. How could we possibly be jumping up and down and saying, oh, Governor Cuomo did a great job? He had the worst death rate in the world.
No, you misconstrued that, Senator, and you've done that repetitively in the past. They got hit very badly. They've made some mistakes. Right now, if you look at what's going on right now, the things that are going on in New York to get their test positivity 1% or less is because they are looking at the guidelines that we have put together from the task force of the four or five things of masks, social distancing, outdoors more than indoors, avoiding crowds, and washing hands.
Or they've developed enough community immunity that they're no longer having the pandemic because they have enough immunity in New York City to actually stop.
I challenge that, Senator. I would like to be able to do this because this happens with Senator Rand all the time. You were not listening to what the director of the CDC said, that in New York, it's about 22%. If you believe 22% is herd immunity, I believe you're alone in that.
There's also the pre-existing immunity of those who have cross-reactivity, which is about a third of the public in many estimates from studies, which would actually get you to about
5%. I'd like to talk to you about that also, because there was a study that recently came out that pre-existing immunity to coronaviruses that are common cold do not cross-react with the COVID-19.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, that was Anthony Fauci, the director of the White House's, or the coronavirus advisor to the White House, speaking with Senator Rand Paul yesterday at a Senate hearing. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, and Labor and Pensions was holding that hearing. And you heard Dr. Fauci repeatedly put down the claims made by Senator Rand Paul. At one point saying, you're not listening to what the director of the CDC said. If you believe that 22% is herd immunity, I believe you're alone in that, said Fauci. Well, if you want to comment about that, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, President Trump yesterday again declined to commit to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses the November 3rd presidential election. He was at a White House press conference and he was asked this question by a reporter yesterday, and let's listen to his answer.
President, real quickly, win, lose, or draw in this election, will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election? And there has been rioting in Louisville. There's been rioting in many cities across this country, red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about
the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to have get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very we'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
President Trump yesterday at the White House, Joe Biden, when asked about those statements, says, what country are we in? He said, I'm being facetious. Look, Trump says, the most irrational things. I don't know what to say about it, but it doesn't surprise me, said Joe Biden yesterday. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And we're going to get your comments in a moment. About this, body of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court today, and President Trump and his wife went out to view the body. The president was wearing a mask. He stood behind the casket, looking down the steps out to the crowd, and as he looked out to the crowd, this is what happened. Sound of the crowd outside the U.S. Supreme Court just moments ago booing President Trump and shouting, vote him out. They also said, honor her wish. President getting a negative reception today on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can also email the studio in, you can get your email read on the air. If you sign it, just send it to dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to J.C. in Polk County, who called in earlier. J.C., what's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob, just a lot to unpack again. It's never ending here with this administration and insanity basically is what it's come down to. You know, both of my parents served in the military. My mom was an RN and met my dad in the Vietnam era war. He didn't survive that war. He was buried in the National Cemetery at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And this isn't the democracy that my parents served for, Rob. It's not what my dad died for. It's not why we're a Gold Star family. Guys, this is bad. This is the worst I've ever seen in all my years. This wasn't what I envisioned in my childhood as 2020. You know, I thought it would be a futuristic, great time in America on this planet. And yet we've allowed this man to, just deter our democracy and tear it back down to almost a Hitler-style era where he's commenting to people in Minnesota about their genes, the all-white crowd, telling them they have great genes. Well, what does that say about the rest of America who doesn't resemble his crowds that participate in his rallies? The rest of us have a voice in this democracy. DeSantis comes to Polk County, picks out Polk County, Grady Judd and him, where I'm at right now in Polk County, and chooses to decree a law with that sheriff in this county that we can no longer, protests will be, and they try to spin it to protect the police. This is what this era of Republicans have been doing since 2000, 1998. They spin on words. They use positive, negative wording to try to say one thing but absolutely mean the exact opposite of what they're trying to do and enact. And what they've come here to do is he came here to announce, you know, this policing protesting where, you know, ladies and gentlemen, now, if you protest, you know, the police to say that by this new law that they feel threatened and you can be arrested. It's a felony and you have a mandatory jail time. It's becoming dystopian to an era of what are we doing? Where are we going?
JC, the Republican Party says it's the party of freedom. And when you hear the governor say he wants to increase penalties for protests and that he wants to give more power to the police, and the Republican Party says it's the party of freedom, how do you think they reconcile the two?
Rob, I call upon every veteran listening or every veteran, every citizen that thinks that, you know, my parents and sons and daughters that volunteer or were drafted to serve and defend this country, is that freedom that they swore on. See, our Constitution says that we have the freedom to assemble. We have the freedom to protest. Now, I'm not in favor of violent protest, you know, the looting and the rioting. No, that's not cool, guys. But we can make our voice heard. And now, if we allow, you know, DeSantis is a spinoff, they're on the same playbook. I think they have Zoom meetings with the Republican Party, and they all take notes and they all run this same playbook out. It's been happening this way since 2000. The Democrats have...
JC, I'm going to have to cut you off. You can't talk that way, and I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off. You can't use a word like that on the air. I should say that Grady Judd will be a guest on my TV program this Friday night, the sheriff that JC was just talking about. Let's go to Michelle in Tampa. Michelle, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to talk about the mail-in ballot. I received a postcard-type flyer in the mail a few days ago. It was just letting me know that my mail-in ballot was going to be sent very soon, and that it also listed three different locations within Tampa. I believe that you can actually, the first week of October, I believe it is, you can actually go and drop off your ballot to the actual the election offices that we have. Instead of putting it in the mail, they're pretty close by, and that way you don't have to worry about your mail-in ballot being delivered by the post office. You can deliver it straight there. And those people who don't want to go to the polls because they're afraid of coronavirus, because they may have some health issues because of it, that'll also help as well. So I just wanted to let everybody know who may not already know that the mail-in ballots should be coming soon in Tampa, and that there are like three different locations you can physically drop them off in person. Also, I wanted to say that there a lot of seniors usually work the polls, but because of the coronavirus may not be able to work the polls this time around. So anybody who is doesn't have any health immunity issues, who feel like they want to get out and volunteer to work the polls, it is a paid position, but it would probably help out a lot with the lack of people that may be able to work the polls this year.
All right. Michelle, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm planning to, in the next few days, interview several supervisors of elections. I'm speaking through my mask. I'm going to pull this down a little bit. So I will get the straight scoop from Supervisor of Elections as we get closer. We're going to hear sometime in the next few days from the Supervisor of Elections in Polk County. We'll be talking with her and putting that interview on the air here. Let's go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Rob. I think Donald Trump did us a favor last night or yesterday when he talked about throwing out the ballots. Because I think he's truly, clearly delineated sort of a line at this point where he has made himself plain as really truly an enemy of constitutional democracy. I mean, he articulated sort of, you know, the most fundamental right we have is to vote, and he articulated he's willing to throw it out to retain power. I think what that does is it kind of it takes some of the gray out of this and makes it more black and white. If you're for Donald Trump and you're one of his enablers, then you really have to examine whether or not you are somebody who supports constitutional democracy or whether you're something you're for something else. And the rest of us who know that we are for constitutional democracy need to begin coming together to discuss what we're facing in those terms and start planning how we're going to resist and how we're going to reclaim constitutional democracy.
What do you think of this idea that there is a deep state, and it is a deep state that doesn't believe in democracy, and President Trump is the leading edge of that deep state that thinks that we should not have a democracy, that we should have a powerful president and a powerful attorney general that who are above the law, and that the deep state that they've been talking about is right out in the open? What do you think of that idea?
I agree with that. I think that's absolutely part of this. And I think this fight transcends party at this point. You know, the Democrats and Republicans are really part of that same machine that you just described. And in this country, those of us who are for constitutional democracy need to begin imagining something different, how we're going to get there, how we're going to wage this fight. But Donald Trump threw down the gauntlet yesterday in very clear terms, and I think we need to begin discussing it that way. It's almost a new paradigm now.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thank you for your thoughts. Good to hear from you. Gordon sends this conspiracy theory. He says, let's not forget that Fauci helped create COVID-19, and he is one American who has blood on his hands. That's Gordon's belief. Of course, that's not true. Fauci did not help create COVID-19, but I'm sure that there are millions of people who read Breitbart and listen to Fox News who really believe that, and watch InfoWars who really believe that conspiracy theory. I think they're being manipulated. I don't know why they believe that stuff, but they do. But thank you very much, Gordon, for your email. Police have made more than 100 arrests in Louisville after protests last night over the Kentucky grand jury's decision to not indict officers in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. A police statement described some vandalism in Louisville, some fires in garbage cans, and some looting. Police haven't released details about a suspect that they've detained in the shooting of the two officers last night. During the protest, both officers are expected to recover from their wounds. Here's a report.
Kentucky's Attorney General Daniel Cameron says the two officers who fired their weapons at Taylor were justified in using force to protect themselves during a narcotics investigation.
Criminal law is not meant to respond to every sorrow and grief. And that is true here.
Cameron says it was incredibly important to do everything to uncover every fact.
I understand that as a black man, how painful this is.
The reaction on the streets in Louisville.
Our streets! Our streets!
Taylor family's lawyer, Ben Crump, called the decision outrageous and offensive.
She's in her apartment. She's in the sanctity of her home.
The city of Louisville brought a lawsuit against the three officers involved, brought by Breonna Taylor's mother. I'm Ed Donahue.
So what do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Benjamin Crump, the attorney for the family, was on CNN this morning. We're going to hear part of that interview in which Allison Camerota asked him some questions. And he started with an answer to how is the family feeling right now after the grand jury decision was announced yesterday.
Allison, they're devastated, they're outraged, and most of all, they're heartbroken because like me and my co-counsels, attorney Lanita Bacon and Sam Aguiar, they are wondering, did Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron present any evidence on behalf of Breonna Taylor? And if so, what? To yield a result like this, to get an endangerment charge on her white neighbor's apartment, but not a charge for the six bullets that went into her daughter. And he talked about transparency yesterday, Allison. The family is demanding that Daniel Cameron release the transcript of the grand jury proceedings so the family and the community can see if there was any evidence presented on behalf of Breonna Taylor or if her life didn't even matter in those proceedings.
And is that customary? Can he do that? Is that what state attorney generals do in terms of releasing the grand jury transcripts?
It is not customary, but they did it in Ferguson in the aftermath of the killing of Michael Brown Jr. And it showed transparency because right now it appears to many people that this was a sham proceeding, that there was an attempt to exonerate these officers more so than to hold them accountable, to let the evidence and the witnesses against them be presented in a court of law so Breonna Taylor could have her due process.
Did Mr. Cameron call Breonna Taylor's family well in advance of that announcement? And did he fully disclose to them all of the nuances of what these charges were going to look like?
He talked to them about 10 minutes before everybody in the world found out the decision. So it was a 10-minute, notice given to them. And it was just shocking to her family and as Attorney Baker and I discussed, no, they did not get into the nuances.
So meaning, did her family understand that the charges against this one officer were not in connection to Breonna Taylor?
No, that was not explained to them. And, we had to inform them of that. And it just furthered the outrage, Allison, and the fact that Daniel Cameron did not apparently present at all any evidence about why the police were there, even in the first place, executing this dangerous, unconstitutional, we feel, unjustifiable, no-knock warrant that was based on a lie. The fact that they didn't even tell the grand jury that the subject, the main subject of the search warrant was already in their custody. So what did they present to that grand jury? That is the question everybody's asking. They talked a lot about this one neighbor who they claimed said he heard the police knock and announce themselves. Well, Attorney Aguiar and Attorney Baker and I, we have 12 neighbors who say they didn't hear anything.
And did the grand jury not hear from them? Did the grand jury not hear from all of those people?
Apparently not. Apparently they didn't hear from any of them. And the fact that this one neighbor who the police keep referencing, he gave two previous statements where he said he did not hear the police knock and announce. So it's these facts that Daniel Cameron gets to choose what he is going to present to the grand jury and what he is not. And remember, the grand jury are lay people, just regular citizens. There's only one legal perspective, one law team in that room. And whatever they want the grand jury to do, it has been shown time and time again, Allison, that is what the grand jury would do. If they want an indictment, they would get an indictment. If they want to exonerate these police officers, as they so often do in America when they kill black people, they exonerate them. And we just cannot have these two justice systems in America, one for black America and another for white America.
And Mr. Crump, I mean, we're out of time, unfortunately, but what's next? What's going to happen next in this case?
Well, the FBI is investigating the entire execution of this no-knock warrant and all the officers involved to see if there were civil rights violations that occurred against Breonna Taylor. And I'll just say this, Allison, not just for black people, but if you are a parent of a daughter, if you are a parent of a child, you can't sleep peacefully knowing that Tamika Palmer's daughter, Breonna Taylor, was executed in her own apartment, and our legal system is trying to tell us it was justified and it is okay. Well, it's not okay. Black women lives matter, and Breonna Taylor life matters.
Benjamin Crump, who's the attorney for Breonna Taylor's family, this morning on CNN. You can hear and watch that whole interview on the CNN.com website. Let's take some more phone calls and see what's on people's minds about these issues. And we're going to go to Jeanette in St. Pete first and then Sharon in St. Pete. Jeanette, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi. I'd just like to say that I don't really think it was I think it was disrespectful of Trump to go and, in quotes, pay his respects to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because he won't respect her last wishes, and he wants to switch it up and say that she didn't say what she said, which we all know she did. And he wants to just say, well, I'm going to pack the court so that when I lose the election, I can get, you know, can stay in office, because I'm going to have the court, have it go to the Supreme Court. I feel like whether he, you know, wins or loses, he's going to not leave. He's not going to leave. And it's depressing.
All right, Jeanette, thank you. Thank you for the call. All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to Sharon in St. Pete. And after Sharon, we're going to go to Steve in Tampa. Sharon, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I was just, it's kind of convoluted, but I read many years ago a book written by Al Gore called The Assault on Reason. And if you put enough fear into people's minds and souls, then you can control them. And I believe that's what Donald Trump does. I don't know if you ever read it.
I did not read that book. I know that fear is very powerful.
It was like 1988, but it gets to the reptilian brain. And so you can't respond logically. You have this automatic reaction that you have to be protective of stuff. And
I do know that fear is used a lot, especially by conservative commentators who want to make you fearful of going outside, making you fearful so that you feel like you have to have a gun. When I watch Fox News, the world is falling apart except for the part of the world that President Trump controls. And that's not true. I mean, you go outdoors and things are pretty peaceful and normal. So
it's not true. And it's unbelievably the crime rate. I mean, according to the FBI statistics, the crime rate is down in most of the United States.
Yeah. So, all right. Sharon, I'll look up that book. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion. All right. And let's go to Steve in Tampa. And by the way, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Here's Steve in Tampa. Steve, you're on.
Yes, sir. I heard you make a comment about one of the last callers or emails, and a gentleman talking about Dr. Fauci and how he created the coronavirus. You know, and like you're saying, you know, how can they believe this stuff? Well, there was a gentleman years and years ago. He was the chancellor at Berkeley. His name was Clark Kerr, and he was trying to teach critical thinking skills. And you know, I think that's what society is lacking today. You know, we have an education system here in Florida that teaches kids how to take a test. It's not teaching critical thinking skills. So when you have these people believing this stuff, I think they lack, I hate to say it, but they lack the critical thinking skills. And, you know, to make a comment on the last caller, you know, the fear is one of the most dominant emotions that we have. So if you can get people to be afraid of something, you control that person. And that leads back to critical thinking skills. And that's basically all I have to say. And just thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Steve. Nice thoughts. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gino in Tampa, and then we're going to go to Byron in Sarasota. Gino in Tampa, you're on. What would you like to say?
I would like to say that talking about Daniel Cameron, in our community, we have a
the Attorney General in Kentucky, okay?
Yes. All your kin folks are not your kin folks. We know who Daniel Cameron is in the black community. Just for him just recently coming on the scene, you know who he is. And for him to say that he understands what's going on because he's a black man, we don't subscribe to that. Again, we know who he is. We know what he's done. It's like when Harriet Tubman. When Harriet Tubman freed slaves and she went to a certain plantation, they didn't tell all the slaves. They only told some of them for the reason for just what Cameron did now. He would go back, some of them would go back and tell the master. Well, this is how we look at Daniel Cameron. But this is what I suggest to all the black athletes in Louisville and University of Kentucky. Leave the school. Go to places like FAM and Howard. Leave that school and put pressure on them and go to all of their rivals and play against them. Kentucky cares about those horses, and they care about their basketball program, just like Florida cares about their football program. Leave and put that pressure on them. I bet you that I get.
All right. Gino, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. 813-239-9663. We have a bunch of emails that have come in I haven't read. Let's start with Karen, who writes in. She's in Dunedin. She says, I agree. We are heading in such a bad direction. Trump is all about good white genes. He is a white supremacist. Those are Karen's thoughts, who's writing in from Dunedin. And then Regina writes, I think ironically, make it a crime to protest, make it a crime to seek asylum, make it unpatriotic to dislike Trump, writes Regina. Regina, I hope I conveyed your meaning. Thank you. 813-239-9663. And then Peter writes in, he sends in two photos of Biden-Harris signs that apparently were on his lawn, and they have both been desecrated. One has the Biden-Harris logo crossed out, and it's replaced with the words, hide your kids, Trump. And then Peter's words on this are, we had one pretty small non-confrontational Biden sign on our lawn last night. This morning we had this. I'm forwarding this to some of my contacts. If you haven't heard from me in a while, you get this. I'm just sharing our experience. All right, so we must be on some sort of list that Peter shares with his friends. Tony writes this, a previous caller is right. This is very bad. I taught American history at the college level, and like most other historians, I believe that Trump is the worst president ever. He's proven that America is not that exceptional after all. We are going down the road of too many other countries. Being almost 80 years old, I wonder if today's younger generation, especially the white privileged ones, are up to the task of keeping this nation from being an authoritarian dictatorship. A nationwide strike may indeed be necessary, writes Tony. All right, Tony, thank you for that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And Ron writes this, a very nice guy to deal with a couple of times a month, had a camo baseball cap on that said God's guns and Trump with a crucifix on it. He never brought up Trump, but the cap spoke volumes. God, guns, and Trump. Wonder what kind of gun God carries. That's a good question. Let's go to Russell, who's driving through. Russell, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, you know where I get most of my news about Trump?
No. Does it matter?
Left-wing media.
All right. So what's the left-wing media in your mind?
CNN, MSNBC.
So they're left-wing. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would argue that point. And you want to talk about the world is burning. That's all they do, 24/7, 365. I found it amusing that people said that fear was a big thing. That's all Ben Crump just talked about, and that's all the left-wing media ever talks about, 24/7, 365. That's it.
when you say that they say the world is burning, you're saying that when Benjamin Crump, complains about the police mistreatment of black people, he's saying that the world's on fire? Is that what you're saying?
No, he said that if you're a woman in America, you need to be afraid going to bed tonight. I think that's kind of fear-mongering. But if you watch CNN or MSNBC, it's breaking news, and it's just doom and gloom 24/7, 365.
Yeah, you know, give me another example, because I do watch CNN and Fox and MSNBC. I try to turn off and go to sports and movies, too, so I'm not there all the time. But tell me, when I turn on Fox, what I see is old videos of what happened in May of this year when people were really angry about George Floyd. And I see them replaying those videos a lot. But when I turn on CNN and MSNBC, I see discussions about the Supreme Court, and I see discussions about the environment, and I see discussions about Russia and Russian troll farms. I don't see the world on fire so much, but straighten me out.
No. You're right. Every story starts with that, but then it goes. And President Trump, you have seen those studies that say that 95% of the coverage on CNN and MSNBC is about Trump. Way more than Fox. Fox doesn't cover Trump nearly as much as a percentage of their airtime as does.
Yeah, I haven't seen those studies, but send one to me. I'd like to see it.
Right. So I learned what I need to learn about Trump from the left.
From the left-wing media. Well. Okay. All right. And you love Trump, too.
No, I don't. I think he's a buffoon.
Well, you're going to vote for him, though. So why are you going to vote for him?
Because he's better than the alternative.
Okay. All right. Russell, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Grant in Tampa. Grant, you're on MNF. What's up? Hi, Grant. You're on MNF.
Hey, good morning. I wasn't planning on it, but I want to respond to your last caller real quick. First off, you were very diplomatic. I want to draw a distinction between different types of fear. So he's afraid, and folks that support Trump are afraid of change. Even they don't want to see anything change. People like Ben Crump, they're legitimately afraid of black lives being under attack on a daily basis. So I just hope folks can understand that distinction.
And I think I'm just guessing. I think I'm solid ground. Russell is white. I'm white. And so we live in a different world than a person who is African American.
Yeah, me too. I do too as well. But yeah, I'm the one who has talked to you a couple times. I was arrested for the rainbow mural. But anyways, I wanted to speak to... Yeah, I agree with all the callers that Trump is obviously using fear to control. Education system has sucked. It can make us feel powerless and hopeless. But just want to remind people that there are a group of activists fighting for change right here in our community in Tampa and St. Pete. There's a city council meeting going on right now where we're still trying to get them to think about doing a mental health response program. We got all kinds of positive change ideas that they are very reluctant to take up. I would not be surprised if they're in the pocket of the Police Benevolent Association. So yeah, we need more folks listening to this station to join us, pay attention to the young folks taking time out of their crazy lives to try to fight for positive change for everybody, learn from them, be inspired. Join us calling city council and pushing for change.
Grant, what happened with your case? You attempted to paint a rainbow flag on the sidewalk at Curtis Hickson Park. Some other folks painted a pro-police mural on the road outside the police headquarters. They were okay. The police didn't arrest them. They arrested you for attempting to paint. What happened to your case?
Yeah, so charges were dropped. Like all the charges that have happened for protesters recently, it's just in an effort to intimidate, so is all the police violence during protests. And unfortunately it works. A lot of people do get afraid to go out there, but that's another thing we need to make the change happen. We need more people on the streets. When we have numbers, they can't so easily intimidate us. There's never been an instance in history where 3.5% of people have taken to the streets and there hasn't been major change. So we need to hit that magic number.
What percent are you at now?
So that's a total population. We're probably at 0.2. I don't know.
Yeah,
we definitely need more people out there. But yeah, I did actually have an opportunity to speak to Andrew Warren, the Attorney General, on Saturday at the end of a protest that was happening at CBS. And he, you know, obviously gives very politically answers whenever I ask about stuff, but just the sheer hypocrisy, right? So if people followed last Tuesday, so 9 days ago, there was another protester arrested for trying to stop a woman from driving into a crowd of protesters. She was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon.
This is on Howard Avenue in Tampa.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. For just barely hitting her car, you know? And then we still have on video two protesters getting hit by cars, and there have yet to be charges filed. And he's trying to say, like, see that car right there? So we know who it's registered to, but anyone could be driving it, and we can't get a positive ID. And then just all kinds of BS political stuff. So, yeah, we need more than just the young activists who don't have a lot of institutional power yet. We need some of your listeners that are business owners that are well connected in the community to join us and help us.
All right, Grant, and that city council meeting is going on right now.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. Grant, thanks a lot. Stay in touch. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
You have a good one.
You
Bye.
Too. Let's go to Mike in Lakeland, who wants to talk about the Breonna Taylor case. Mike, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, good morning. I thought I'd been following this Breonna Taylor case pretty closely, listening, you know, several newscasts a day or whatnot. And I learned for the first time yesterday, listening to NPR, that when she was killed, the police had entered the apartment, and her boyfriend, I believe, thinking a robbery was happening, fired first at the police, and the police were returning fire. And I'm just guessing that she and the boyfriend were in the same bedroom, if not even the same bed. And perhaps they were both standing up in a dark room, and, you know, the return fire resulted in her extremely unfortunate death. And I don't hear that mentioned very often. First time I heard it was yesterday.
Yeah, well, we just played the interview, you missed it, with Benjamin Crump and the attorney for Breonna's family. He says, basically, the story is this, and I should suggest to listeners, too, you can hear an in-depth interview with one of the attorneys representing Breonna Taylor's family this afternoon at 5 on our HD3 channel when we replay Democracy Now! Basically, they hear, Breonna and her boyfriend hear a bunch of knocking at the door, heavy pounding. And they're rattled. They're asleep. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. They get partially dressed. They go to the door. They're in the hallway. And out of fear, the boyfriend fires a shot at the door. Doesn't know it's the cops. And you can hear from
his... through the closed door?
Yeah, you can hear through the one shot. You can hear on his 911 call, he's calling the cops, or calling the police, saying, hey, somebody's breaking into my house. So the cops haven't, as far as I understand, haven't yet entered the apartment. The cops return fire 32 times and kill Breonna. Some of the fire goes into a nearby apartment. The cops violate their own rules by shooting through a doorway that they can't see who they're shooting at. And
just
so,
like the boyfriend did, right?
Just like the boyfriend. The boyfriend is not a police officer, and he's not trained. He's not
that.
Trained. The cops are
the
trained.
The occurred on both sides.
The cops
door,
are trained. The police are trained. They have rules. If you're a gun owner, you don't have rules. You've got the basic rules that you got for your permit, but you're not heavily trained like the police officer. So I would go back and listen to two things. I'd listen to the Benjamin Crump interview that we just played a second ago. And I would listen to Democracy Now! Today at 5 o'clock on HD3. I don't think you've got the complete story.
Okay, well, I just got the summary from what I did here.
And I would read a newspaper account, too, Mike, because the New York Times reporter has been very good about this. So read the New York Times account.
I live in Lakeland. The only thing we get here is the Ledger.
Do you have the internet in Lakeland?
Here.
Do you have the internet in Lakeland?
I do have the internet.
You can get the New York Times online. Mike, it's a new day. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I'm sorry. Let me take you off speaker for a second here.
Kevin, we got every line lit.
Sorry. Did you see the article in The Guardian about the right-wing Patriot Coalition, that there was some leaked chats where they described the violence that they were trying to
perpetrate in Portland. And I mean, it led to talking about political assassinations. It's in today's Guardian by a couple of writers. It's about the amount of violence that these people have been perpetrating, and it's not being talked about. It's leaked chats from the Patriot Coalition by Jason Wilson and Robert Evans.
I will go. I haven't read it yet. I usually do look at the Guardian in the morning, but I didn't look at it this morning. So it's thanks excellent. For the heads up. Okay. All right, Kevin, thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Nancy in St. Petersburg. Hi, Nancy. You're on WMNF.
Hi. I heard a fire one across their bow sort of thing from Trump. It was on the 11th hour on MSNBC. And these are his words. These aren't anybody else's words, but coming from him, if the ballots are counted and and he loses the popular vote.
Nancy, let me just play the soundbite for you. You missed it. We played it earlier, but here it is. This is what President Trump said yesterday.
President, real quickly, win, lose, or draw in this election, will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election? And there has been rioting in Louisville. There's been rioting in many cities across this country, red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
All right, so Nancy, those are the president's actual words. We played them earlier. What would you like to say about those?
Well, that I think that people should really pay attention to that, because that is exactly where he stands on this whole thing about voting. He just thinks he should just stay in office. And this voting stuff, that's just a waste of time for him. You know, he has to pay attention to this, and he's bored with it. He's going to stay in office. And he's telling you that. If the ballots are counted, he's staying in office, because there's no other way that he could lose. If, you know, he would win, he's saying.
Yeah, it's a pretty shocking statement. I said it's a pretty shocking statement.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Nancy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And yeah, we did play that soundbite towards the beginning of the program. Maybe that's an argument. If you're not doing anything else, tune into the whole show. Just a suggestion. Let's go to Peter in Tampa. Hey, Peter, you're on MNF. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. To that quote that you guys just did of Trump, the American people need to be very clear on something. He is threatening what we would call executive dictatorship. They have no intentions of giving up the presidency under any circumstances, and they are simply preparing the American public for a circumstance in which they reject the election results no matter what they are, and they stay in office. The Trump administration represents a threat to American democracy, and the American people need to be very well aware of this. And there's only one way to combat it, and it's not actually at the ballot office. I mean, people should vote, of course. But actually, the American people need to be mobilized in a protest movement, and we need to remove Trump from office by way of protest, because he's not going to give up office by way of voting. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Peter, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. Jeff writes this in response to Gordon's email: I will not subscribe to any conspiracy theory without valid proof, but I will say I did not like it when the message from the media was, it's not a matter of if, but when we'll get the virus. They could have said it's a high likelihood, but not definite. This kind of thing feeds the mind of those susceptible to conspiracies, writes Jeff. And let's go to Chip in Clearwater. Chip, we just have 20 seconds. What's on your mind?
Rob, it's about the peaceful transfer of power comment.
Yeah.
I say that the reporter presented a false question, in that he said, will you commit to a peaceful transfer when we don't know the outcome of the election? So he was trying to bait Trump into saying, yes, he would transfer regardless of the outcome of the election, or presuming that Biden would win. That's my comment.
All right, Chip, thanks a lot. If you want to comment about today's program, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on the comment line, which is extension 115. And thanks for listening, and thanks to Bill Grace, our phone producer today. Stay tuned for the Surly Feminists. They're coming up next here on 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Here's the latest news from NPR.